The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
This, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. 1 Timothy 4:16. Today I want to talk about a subject that's very important and significant, and it's one that I contemplate a lot. It's actually a question that I'm asking us to ponder, to think about and give attention to. This is a subject that everyone creates. It can be a worthy one or a futile one, it can be a really good one, or it can be a poor one. It knows no age limit. Everyone leaves one. It's something that just doesn't happen. And someone said it finds its birth in our past. What we do today, this becomes our tomorrow. And it will be undeniably vital to the next generation. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Legacy. The definition of legacy, according to Webster, says it is an amount of money or property left to someone in a will, a gift, or an estate. A story shared by Jerry Reeves of Dallas Theological Seminary goes like this. One April morning, an older couple had gathered and organized all of their important papers regarding their estate. For some time, they'd been working to get all these important papers together in one place. They felt a certain amount of satisfaction that all was in order, and they left it on their dining room table. They walked out their front door very relieved and secure. Minutes later, they entered the Social Security office just after it had opened, and they never returned home. That day was April 19, 1995, Oklahoma City. That couple, along with 166 others, died in the Alfred P. Murrah Federal Building. When the family later discovered the stack of papers left on the dining room table by their parents, it not only symbolized for them their love for their children, but their preparedness for the unexpected. That couple that morning did not know that it would be their last day on earth, but they were prepared practically. My focus today is not about just getting your affairs in order, as important as that is. It's important to have a will and as much as possible to organize your medical and your financial papers, to have them in order so that they are easily accessible when needed. You don't want to leave unnecessary burdens for your children. They should know your intentions and your desires, whether it's dealing with funeral arrangements, your everyday business transactions, or like what to do with your stuff. Billy Graham said, "The greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. No legacy is automatically left. It's the result of making it, creating it, thinking about it, and preparing it. And all of us should be serious or give serious thought to the kind of legacy we want to create. Someone said that what we're doing now is, in fact, history tomorrow. Job 14:5 tells us that the Lord has numbered our days. He knows the number of our months and years, and we cannot live longer than the time that he has set for us. So one of the primary goals in our lives should be to prepare for our last day. And the legacy that we leave is not just in our possessions, but in the quality of our lives. What preparations should you and I be making now? Someone said that the greatest waste in all of our earth, which cannot be recycled or reclaimed, is our waste of the time that God has given us each day. So the question that I'm bringing before us this morning is, how do I want to be remembered? Which can answer another equally important question, how will I be remembered? So just by interchanging those two simple verbs, do and will, you can have possibly two very different answers. In other words, I can tell you how I want to be remembered, but depending on how I live determines how I will be remembered. I must live today the way that I want to be remembered. So when asking others how they wanted to be remembered, most of their responses were positive, and they went from shallow to being very deep. One person said, I just wanted to be remembered as being a happy person. One person said, I want to be remembered as being a funny person, the life of the party, always joking. And then someone else said that I want to show compassion to those around me in an effort to show God's love, giving praise to God. And another person said, I want to be remembered that I loved others and God's. Now, when you ask people that question, most people will give you a positive response. Nobody wants to be remembered with negative things said about them. Like, nobody wants to be remembered that they were cranky, or that they were mean, or that they were bitter or narcissistic. People don't want to be remembered that way. Most people want to be remembered for the good things about their life. So this morning, what I really want to talk about is a living, lasting legacy. One that does not end with the person. I believe that this kind of a legacy, it's a godly one. And as followers of Christ, I believe this is the one we should intentionally strive for. A.W. Tozer said, when a man of God dies, nothing of God dies, which is true of anyone who is an intentional follower of Christ. Before we talk about your legacy and mine, I want us to go back in time and look at some positive and negative examples, primarily positive examples of those who have gone on before us, how they lived and what they left for us. But ultimately, bottom line, our greatest and most perfect example of godliness and the one whose legacy has never died is that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at several different portions of Scripture, and I'm going to invite you to look at those with me. So if you want to put your finger in Judges chapter 2, starting with verse 6, and then also 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 30 through 33. Excuse me, 2 Chronicles 34, 30 through 33. And then I'm just going to mention a few other Scriptures. But as we look through back through the pages of Scripture, we are going to look at familiar men and women who left a legacy of some type. We read of how they invested, mentored, influenced, passed on to their children, their proteges, the Lord God, who he was and what he did, such as Abraham to Isaac, Moses to Joshua, Elijah to Elijah, David to Solomon, Mordecai to Esther, Naomi to Ruth. And then in the New Testament, Barnabas to John Mark, Paul to Timothy, just to mention a few. These were positive, life-giving legacies. And I want to take a few minutes to talk about an Old Testament example of a godly legacy passed on from Moses to Joshua. Moses was one of the greatest leaders in Israel of all time. He mentored Joshua in the ways of God and modeled for him a perseverance of commitment to God in spite of the rebelliousness and idolatry of the people that he was called to lead. And as you know, Moses was forbidden to enter the promised land because of his sin. And then this enormous and overwhelming task was then given to Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the land that God had promised him. And when you open up the book of Joshua, you first read Moses has died. Joshua's mentor is dead, and now he must take on this mandate to lead the children of Israel into this land that he's never been before, that is filled with all kinds of ites, you know, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, all of those ites, right? And he has to go in and take that land that God has promised. And it is believed that Joshua is around 80 years old at this time when he is given this mandate. So his mentor has died, and here he is with all of these people to enter this land that he's never been in before. And the Lord, being the good Lord that he is, he tells him in Joshua 1, 7, and 9, he tells him to be courageous. And then he says, observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. And don't turn to the right or the left. Don't be afraid. And then he promises him that just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Only be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. The Lord God is with you wherever you go. Joshua faithfully obeyed, served, and worshiped God. And towards the end of his life, we read his charge to the leaders of Israel. He says, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Throw away your idols and serve the Lord only. He goes, but no matter what you choose. And he makes this declaration that many of you have hung on the walls of your home. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then we only have to turn a few pages from the book of Joshua to the next book of Judges, chapter 2, where we read of the continual faithfulness of the leadership of Joshua and the impact he had. However, the upcoming leaders of Israel forgot the Lord. And we read of what happens when a godly legacy is not passed on to the next generation. Look with me at verse 6. After Joshua sent the people away, each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him, those who had seen all the great things that the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Moving down to verse 10. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things that he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them. Thus, the very last verse in the book of Judges describes the state of Israel in chapter 21, verse 25. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Then you only continue on and you read from the book of Chronicles and Kings. And we read of the many negative legacies lived out by many of the kings of Israel and Judah, such as King Saul, Ahaz, Ahab, Rehoboam, Manasseh. We read tragic words again regarding this, their sons, that says, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord even more than their fathers before them. Throughout history, you and I can think back of influential, important men and women who have been responsible for founding, shaping, and influencing our country today. Presidents, human rights activists, men and women in uniform, whether it be military, police, or firefighters, scientists, researchers, those in the medical profession, psychologists, engineers, teachers, professors, coaches, theologians, missionaries, all of them have made history, and they have either left positive or negative legacies, or who have left legacies that have never died. And I'm sure there are specific people that come to mind. Now, as we turn back the pages of our own genealogies, there were those in our lineage we never met. We only heard about them. but something of who they were got left for us tangibly, possibly an heirloom of some sort. We all have a family history that has been passed on to us. Some of it we may be proud of and want to emulate, and some of it we hope no one will ever know about. Legacies have no age limit, as I said before. It doesn't matter how old you are to the kids in my class back there. Doesn't matter how old you are. You are creating a legacy today. When thinking of those younger, I thought of a godly 8-year-old boy who, in the long list of evil leaders of Judah, surfaced to the throne in the midst of a very dark time. And his name was Josiah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the ways of his father David. And he didn't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. At his very young age, he began to seek the Lord. At the age of 12, he purged Judah and Jerusalem of their high places and broke down the altars of the Baals. At age 18, he set into motion the repairing and the rebuilding of the temple and was responsible for reestablishing true worship of the Most High God in Jerusalem. 18 years old. He was made aware of a book that was found in the temple ruins, the book of the law or the book of the covenant. And as it was read to him, scripture tells us that he tore his clothes. In repentance, he humbled himself at the reading of those words. And he repented before the Lord on behalf of himself and his people. 2 Chronicles 34:30-33. You want to look at that with me. It says, and the king, referring to Josiah, went up to the temple of the Lord with all the people of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priests and the Levites, all the people from the greatest to the least. There the king read to them the entire book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. The king took his place of authority beside the pillar and renewed the covenant in the Lord's presence. He pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all of his commands, laws, and decrees with all of his heart and soul. He promised to obey all the terms of the covenant that were written in the scroll, and he required everyone in Jerusalem and the people of Benjamin to make a similar pledge. The people of Jerusalem did so, renewing their covenant with God, the God of their ancestors. So Josiah removed all detestable idols from the entire land of Israel and required everyone to worship the Lord their God. And throughout the rest of his lifetime, they did not turn away from the Lord, the God of their ancestors. He was a teenager when he did this. And then as we look at the end of his life in chapter 35, verses 24 through 27, it says, so they lifted Josiah. He had been wounded in battle. So they lifted Josiah out of his chariot, placed him in another chariot, and they brought him back to Jerusalem where he died. He was buried there in the royal cemetery, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for him. The prophet Jeremiah composed funeral songs for Josiah. And to this day, choirs still sing sad songs about his death. These songs of sorrow have become a tradition and are recorded in the Book of Laments. The rest of the events of Josiah's reign and his acts of devotion, carried out according to what was written in the law of the Lord from the beginning to end, are all recorded in the Book of the Kings of Israel and Judah. This is what Josiah is remembered for. And Joshua's declaration, that's what he was remembered for. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Next young man that I thought of, there's not very much said. It's a very short few words spoken about him, but for some reason, he's very significant to me. And you will find him in John chapter 6, verse 9. He is this unnamed boy with a lunch of 5 fish and 2 loaves. And he places them in the hands of Jesus, who in turn gives thanks, blesses it, and feeds a multitude of hungry people. We don't know his name. We don't know how old he is. We know nothing about him. Nothing. Except for the fact that he is remembered for giving what he had and placing it in the hands of Jesus to meet the needs of thousands. So I also think about a young 17-year-old girl by the name of Lauren Hill, who played basketball for her high school in the Cincinnati area and was getting ready for college. She chose to play basketball at Division III Mount St. Joseph University in suburban Cincinnati. She began to experience dizziness while playing for her high school team. After some tests were done, they found an inoperable brain tumor. Treatment didn't work. She knew she had less than 2 years to live. But in spite of the growing tumor and the physical effects on her body, she lived every day as fully as she could. She became dedicated to raising money for cancer research and treatment, and determined to show others what it means to treat each sunrise as a precious opportunity. She raised over $1.5 million for a cancer foundation and for cancer research, specifically pediatric cancer. She said, "I'm spreading awareness and also teaching people how to live in the moment, because the next moment's not promised. Anything can happen at any given moment. What matters is right now." The NCAA agreed to let Mount St. Joseph move up its opening game against Hiram College by 2 weeks because of Lauren's deteriorating condition. Xavier University offered its 10,000-seat arena so more people could attend. Tickets sold out in less than an hour. By the time the game came around on November 2nd, 2014, the tumor had affected Lauren's right side so much that she had to shoot with her left hand. She took a pass and made a left-handed layup only 17 seconds into the game. She also made the last basket of the game, returning for a right-handed layup this time. Her team won their first game, 66-55. She went on to play four more games before she could no longer play. She wore the number 22, and on the back of one of her jerseys was Joshua 1:9. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lauren Hill died on April 10th, 2015, at the age of 19. It was said of her that she never gave up, not even for a moment. She never strayed from her goals. She lived and loved with passion and desire. The president of her college said, "We are forever grateful to have had Lauren grace our campus with her smile and determined spirit. She has left a powerful legacy. She taught us that every day is a blessing, every moment a gift." And then I cannot talk about young people without mentioning our very own Delaney Clements. A very normal and vivacious, fun-loving 7-year-old little girl involved in gymnastics who loved to dance. She was diagnosed with neuroblastoma, a cancer in the adrenal glands, in 2010. She became an inspiration not only to Grand Junction, to our state, but to the whole nation. She became the face for childhood cancer and a role model to many. In 2012, during a stint in remission, Delaney partnered with the Mesa County Fire Chiefs Association to spearhead Delaney Donates, a nonprofit organization that raises money for families who have also been affected by cancer. Her obituary reads, "Delaney is a bright, shining light in the world that will outlast all of us. Her short time here on this earth cannot be measured in years. although we all feel 13 was not nearly enough. Delaney had no fear. She spent most of her energy making sure we were all okay and hiding her own pain with a brilliant smile. She taught how to love, how to laugh, how to open our hearts, and mostly how to live every moment of our lives to the limit. She will never be forgotten. She made sure that was not a possibility, and therefore, she will never truly be gone. Legacies are created at every age. And I want to switch to a person that I knew personally, although not long enough. He was much older than the ones that we have just mentioned. His legacy changed midway through his life. He had always been hardworking. He grew up on the farm. He was devoted. He loved his family. He was dependable. He was trustworthy. He was a man of his word. And all of his business dealings were done by a handshake. He attended church, served on the elder board, and people would have considered him to be a religious man. I met him in 2009 at the age of 80. He started attending Wellspring West, and I watched him continually transform from a good man to a better man to a godly man on fire for Jesus and the gospel. And even though he attended church and read his Bible prior, he would tell you that he had not yet fully experienced a personal and vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. But I watched his love and his passion for Jesus grow and outflow to the incarcerated men through Kairos Prison Ministry. Many of you might remember him who have been a part of Wellspring for quite some time. We would have him come up here and share about Kairos and how God had burdened his heart for these men and how he prayed for them and shared with them the same love for God. Abe Marinelli passed at age 88 on April 19th, 2017. We just last month celebrated his homegoing anniversary. He was a good man all of his life. But what he would want to be remembered for and what we do remember him for is what he did for the kingdom of God, what he did for eternity, his commitment and his love and his faithfulness to his God. And it was shown by the way he ministered to the outcast and the marginalized. His godly legacy lives on in his children and his grandchildren. How do I know? Because I continue to see him lived out in my son-in-law. And I will in my grandchildren. Legacies know no age limit. So let's say up to this point that you feel like the legacy you would be leaving isn't the one you want to live or leave. It's never too late to create a better one. The recent movie that came out that many of you saw, I can only imagine. You saw the pain and devastation of physical and emotional marks left on a son, Bart Millard, from his abusive father, Arthur, and his mother, who abandoned him. Most of the story depicts the legacy of his parents, which is lived out through the actions and behaviors of Bart. Bart leaves home to pursue his music career. He's a believer, and he wants to find his place in the Christian music industry. He hopes to leave behind the wounds and pain of his childhood. Later in his life, his father, Arthur, is diagnosed with terminal cancer, which as a result, he gives his life to Christ and becomes a transformed man from within. Bart learns of his dad's illness and comes home and witnesses a changed man. They are reunited and now share a common faith. They become best friends. The remaining time he had with his father was short, but they were the best of times. Which out of that birthed in Bart the song, I Can Only Imagine, in honor of his father, Arthur. And even more recently, on Tuesday, Some of us went to go see the movie that I told you about, Like Arrows. And it was kind of cool because it ended up being a real encouragement to me and a confirmation of what I was going to be speaking about today, because that's what the movie was all about, really, was legacy, godly legacy. The movie explored the heartaches and joys of parenting through a journey of a couple named Charlie and Alice that unfolded over 50 years. And when conflict, rebellion, and resentment overwhelmed their family, they discovered a new way of knowing and living God's word and understanding that it was the key to parenting with a purpose. And at their 50th anniversary celebration, three of their four children got up and recognized all the good things that their parents did for them and had provided for them, but they paid tribute to their faith and how they lived out their faith before them, even though it came later in their life. The path a parent chooses is the legacy a parent leaves. Someone said that a righteous man is one who lives for the next generation. We know from Scripture that this mindset has always been God's plan for passing on his truth from generation to generation. A godly legacy is about eternity, and it is one that will never die. Maybe you're not really sure what a godly legacy looks like. Maybe no one really ever lived that before you. But I want you to know that the Apostle Paul wrote it down for us, and you will find glimpses of it pretty much in all of his letters. Paul confidently said, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ." Can you say that this morning? Can I say that this morning? Paul's second letter to his beloved son, that's how he referred to Timothy, as his beloved son, is one that probably compels me the most to contemplate my own life, how I am presently living, and how I want to live, and what I want to strive for to pass on. Paul breathes life-giving words to Timothy, and he exhorts him with an eternal mandate to remember where he came from, to remain in the truth, recite over and over the gospel, resolve in his heart that the life he will live today and every day before others will be for the glory of God and his kingdom. In four powerful chapters of words and phrases that speak of a godly man, a spiritual father, reveals to us aspects that we can incorporate into our own lives that will help us create a godly, lasting legacy. I'm going to encourage you guys to read, to meditate, to spend time in 2 Timothy. Study it, take it, and incorporate it into your life. Now we're coming back to our question today. How do I want to be remembered? Do I think that it's going to be the same way I will be remembered? I hope so. I realize that we don't have control of how others might remember us, but we should nonetheless endeavor to live a life that leaves an eternal legacy. We're going to watch a music video by Nicole Nordeman titled, what do you think? Legacy. And right now as we watch this video, and as we sing our last song together, I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us concerning how we are living right now, at this moment. I want us to invite him to show us the areas of our life that we have not let him have control in, to shed light on the ways that maybe we are living selfishly and the ways that we are not yet serving him, our family and others. Maybe some of us this morning still have wounds from our own childhood that we have not allowed the Lord to heal. Maybe we are still carrying hurts and offenses that we've held on to, and forgiveness that we have withheld from those we think don't deserve it. And now because of that, we've become bitter. Maybe some of us this morning are choosing to walk in sin, worshiping other idols instead of God. But on the other hand, maybe all is well, and you are confident that you are living a godly life, not in your own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. If so, then humbly give thanks for God's work in your life and continue to be steadfast and faithful in loving and serving God and others. Wherever you're at in your life today, no matter what age you are creating a legacy. And if it's not the one you want it to be, it's never too late to create a new one, because you have someone who can show you how.
I don't mind if you got something nice to say about me. I enjoy an accolade like the rest. And you could take my picture and hang it in a gallery of all the who's who's and so-and-so's that used to be the best at such and such. It wouldn't matter much. Temporary trappings of this world. I wanna leave a legacy. How will they remember me? Did I choose to love? Did I point to you enough to make a mark on things? I wanna leave it all for a child of mercy and grace who blessed your name unapologetically. Don't have to look too far or too long to make a lengthy list of all that I enjoy. It's an accumulating trinket and a treasure pile, the moth and rust, thieves and such will soon enough destroy. To you, left to make a mark on things. I want to say about me.
My life's going to end one day here, and all of my stuff will probably be sent to Goodwill. And what will have been left? I hope and I pray, as I intentionally endeavor to leave a godly legacy, even though I will not do it perfectly, and I will fall short, I hope what is said about me is that she showed me the way to Jesus and eternal life, not so much by what she said, but by how she lived. I'm going to leave you with Paul's exhortation in 2 Timothy 2:1 and 2. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that the Lord God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, and all of us would say that what we want to be said of us, and Lord, that is that we lived godly lives, that we loved you, that we loved others. And so, Lord, I just pray for your blessing upon each one of these that are here this morning. And I ask that you would continually remind us about how we are creating our legacy, and if it is truly one that honors and gives you glory, and one that will never die, even when we do. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.